Wrestling with siblings, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. In the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Life is a fight, so I gotta get right.
Right.
Can't have my back on the ropes.
Never.
This for my sister and bro. I swear that we'll make it, that's all that we hope. Like a stone cold. Get hit with a son of, that's all that she wrote. The world that we live in has made me cutthroat. I started rapping about life just to cope. Now I spit fire like Ricky Steamboat. Straight from the bottom, got so much to gain. I had to grind just to build on my name. People call me champ, I'm feeling like Dwayne. I let it smack down, here comes the pain.
Here comes the pain.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Wrestling with Siblings. I'm your host, Araceli, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
We are officially back. Thank you guys for being super, super patient. Life gets in the way, but we are officially back with fire content each and every single week.
Definitely agreed and excited to be back and bring you guys this new content each and every single week. We're going to be more constant, so just bear with us and, you know, let's get started.
Yep. All right. What a great show we picked to come back to, right?
Definitely.
This is the very first show of the TKO era, and they started off with a bang. Pat McAfee decides to come back, and he's like, you know what? I was so close to Denver, flew in, decided to just be here tonight. But before he can even continue with anything else, the man himself, Austin Theory, decides to interrupt Pat McAfee.
And it's like Austin Theory comes out and he wants to interrupt Pat McAfee and make a statement and be like, look, nobody cares about what you're saying. Everybody came to see Austin Theory. Why? Because this is my show. This is the Theory show. This is Theory, Austin Theory live. So he pretty much wanted to put Pat McAfee down.
Yes, and he starts to tell him, like, I'm 26 years old. Look what I'm doing at the age of 26. What were you doing at the age of 26? Now, if I'm wrong, I think Pat McAfee was doing some pretty good stuff in the NFL. I could possibly be wrong, but I think that's what he was doing at the age of 26. But Pat McAfee's like, you know what? I'm excited that you're trying to be like me. And the reason why he says that is because Theory comes out dressed right and exactly like Pat McAfee. And it was so funny because I was like, oh, I get it. I see what he's trying to do. He's dressed just like him.
Yeah, and what better way to do it than, you know, Pat McAfee, he's well-liked, and he's like, well, you know what? Let's be real. The crowd doesn't like me as much, and maybe if I come out and I try to be a little bit like Pat McAfee and still kind of talk to smack, maybe they might just like me. So, again, he wasn't as successful on that, and, you know, he pretty much insulted
him. Well, and he tells him, like, hey, you said this is Austin Theory Live. Nah, this is the People Show, which means cue The Rock's music. What a return. That pop that The Rock got when he literally entered and when his music hit, oh my god, they blew the entire building.
I would have loved to be in the arena just to hear the pop. And obviously, who doesn't want to see The Rock? I mean, I think it was something unexpected. I don't think any of us expected Rock to be there on Friday and, you know, to come out the way he did in against Theory and Pat McAfee, which I thought it was awesome. So what a great, great return. And again, not even, 15 minutes into the show, and we already had two big surprises, Pat McAfee, and what better way to do it than The Rock, you know?
100%. And The Rock is like, do you know whose show this is? This is the People Show. This is my show. I am officially back home. And you know, this is The Rock's home. The guy built it. And he starts to tell Theory, like, quite frankly, they don't like you. Let's to say it in the nice way, right? And he gets some chants going, and you can tell he's really pushing Austin Theory to the point where Austin Theory tries to knock out The Rock, and then is met by the people's elbow.
Well, I mean, being in Austin Theory's shoes, I mean, I probably would have done the exact same thing. I mean, even though The Rock is a high caliber star, and I mean, he's considered a legend, for someone to come out and, I don't want to say humiliate you, because what I think The Rock did was humble Austin Theory to a certain point. And it was just the frustration. I mean, if somebody's talking smack to you all night long, it gets to that point where, you know what, you have to, like, defend yourself. And what did Austin Theory do? He went and he defended himself against The Rock. And I mean, he even used The Rock's catchphrases at some point. So, I mean, right there just shows you that Austin Theory wasn't afraid of The Rock, and he's willing to do big things.
But you have to give credit where credit is due. Austin Theory took advantage of the opportunity, and he seized that moment. He's like, you know what? I am face to face with The Rock right now. I have to take advantage of that moment. And that's exactly what he did. He literally clocked The Rock. Unfortunately, he didn't come out on top. Wasn't expecting that. But he did take advantage of that moment. And so did Pat McAfee, because he also did the People's Elbow on Austin Theory.
So what a great way to start the show off. And I mean, like I said, first 15, 20 minutes started off like that. And right there off the back, you knew it was going to be a banger of a show, which it really was.
Yes. And then we start off with the kicker match. Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. What more can you ask for, man? This first hour of SmackDown was absolutely incredible.
And not only that, you have two of the top competitors here in the WWE. You have AJ Styles, who has been all over the world and is one of the most experienced wrestlers in this business. And what better way to do it than with Finn Balor? I mean, these guys know each other. They fought all through the Indies and Japan, you name it. And you know the hype, you know. Austin Theory's kind of been having a little bit of feud with the Judgment Day. They kind of been getting into his business a little bit, but what better way to do it than, you know, to get his revenge on Finn Balor.
AJ Styles, not Austin Theory.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. But, I mean, it starts off very, very strong. Finn Balor knows that he has to keep AJ Styles down. Why? The experience. Now, don't get me wrong, both of these wrestlers are very, very experienced, but he knows who he's up against. He knows that he has the number advantage. He absolutely knows that, but he knows that the longer he keeps AJ Styles down, the more of an advantage that he has over him.
And not only that, but Finn Balor and whoever it is from the Judgment Day, right from the get-go, they start off with the advantage. And what? It's the number games. And two is those head games. They know that the moment somebody goes into the ring, they want to get their revenge. Why? Because they don't get them one-on-one. And this is what AJ Styles was doing at first. He went in, he wanted to get his hands on Finn Balor, but you know, throughout the match, he knew that the Judgment Day, which was Damian Priest and Dirty Dom, were going to get involved. And, you know, he was well prepared for it. But that's where the head games come from, the Judgment Day.
Yes. You never know who's going to strike, but you also never know what they have up their sleeve. And again, being AJ Styles, he was highly prepared for something like this to happen. And obviously, unfortunately, we know how this match ended.
And to show how prepared he was, he kind of let the match flow, and he knew, like, okay, well, wait a minute. The longer the match goes, at some point throughout this match, Damian Priest and Dirty Dom are going to get involved as well, too. So what does he do? He lets the match go, and sure enough, they get caught. And what does he do? The ref automatically sends them out.
But what I don't think AJ Styles was prepared for was Jimmy Uso. I think he wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared for that. And I don't think the crowd was ready for that as well, too. I don't think anybody saw Jimmy Uso coming to the defense of the Judgment Day. Do you possibly see Jimmy Uso joining the Judgment Day? Or do you just see him trying to use them to try to get a title opportunity and possibly become some sort of champion?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think the Judgment Day is trying hard to recruit more members into their faction. And I think they either want to use Jimmy or Jay. You know, and I think they can decide whoever they want. Maybe want both of them. I don't know. It's hard to say right now at this point. But I also do see Jay trying to side with the Judgment Day to get kind of that backup from Roman and Solo Sikoa as at some point. You know, because he knows that they could turn on him. And again, he's trying to get back into the bloodline as well. So again, I don't know where he stands or what the Judgment Day is trying to do, but what I can tell you is they're trying to recruit new members and they're trying to expand. And, you know, they're trying to do it with Jay and Jimmy.
And maybe this is the way you get the Usos back together. Maybe the Judgment Day is the team that brings them back, because we know right now they're extremely separated. However, I don't think now is the time. I think everything that happened with the bloodline is way too fresh for a reunion to happen right now. All right, let's move on to the LWO with, again, my girl Selena Vega. That's the best addition you could have possibly added to the Latino World Order. And we have Rey Mysterio coming out and basically just showing gratitude. Obviously, he says that he's gone through a really, really hard time, especially when it comes to family. And he says, you know what? This is my family. The LWO is my family. And this is where Santos kind of takes advantage of that, and he's like, hey man, like, you're my hero, you're a champion. This is the match that I want. And he basically lays out a challenge to Rey Mysterio. And surprisingly, Rey is like, yeah, man, let's do it. So could this possibly be something that I want to say starts a wedge against the LWO?
Well, I think it might, but at the same time, no. The reason why I say yes is because Santos is going to have that little, you know, wedge where it's like, fuck, it should have been me that got that opportunity, not Ray. So he's always going to hold that against him. He's like, wait, I could have been the one that beat Austin Theory for that title, you know? And so there's going to be some type of, like, you know, grudge there. And for Mysterio, also be like, well, wait a minute, hold on, dude. Like we're family. Like, you know, we're kind of not supposed to do this. We're supposed to have each other's back. So I kind of see both sides as well. And it's hard. But do I see a little wedge? Maybe. I don't know on that part.
And right as this starts to happen, we get to see Lashley and the Street Profits. Personally, I like this. I think this is going to work. I think a great mentor to the Street Profits is definitely going to be Bobby Lashley. And I think he can take their career to a whole nother level. They come out and they basically start asking for opportunities. And this is where we get Joaquin and Del Toro start to say, you know what? You want an opportunity? Let's do it. And straight enough, that's your next match, and then it ends in, like, under 5 minutes.
Yeah, and Del Toro and Joaquin Wilder showing their confidence and being like, hey, you know what? We got backup, too. We got a numbers game. And, you know, not only do they want to impress the entire WWE universe, but they want to impress a legend like Rey Mysterio as well, too, because they know what he could offer. And, you know, Selena has also been a huge part of the success of this team and the success of Rey Mysterio as well, too. So she deserves credit as well. So this is a well-rounded team as well. You know, but, I mean, in front, you have a very, I gotta say, one of my favorite tag teams, you know, ever since they were called up. And I think they're more dangerous now with Bobby Lashley. And I think this is what the Street Profits needed, because they were kind of lost. They kind of went on a little slump, but they were losing. They didn't know what they were going. And I think siding with Bobby Lashley is going to be great. And I think Bobby Lashley learned a lot from MVP. So I think he's going to bring a lot of what he learned from MVP into the Street Profits. And this is a tag team that you're going to have to really, really watch out, especially with Bobby Lashley.
100% agree with you on that one. Moving on to The Miz versus LA Knight. Honestly, I feel like this should have been the match at WrestleMania. This should have happened in Hollywood. I understand why we're getting it now. Regardless of where you put it, it's going to be big because you have somebody like LA Knight and somebody like The Miz. Both A-listers, both are stars. No matter where you put them, they will perform. But I feel like this match should have happened at WrestleMania, and they proved it yet again with a spectacular match tonight on SmackDown.
Not only that, but it's just the mic skills that both of these competitors have. I mean, these two guys are two of the best that have ever worked the crowd. You know, The Miz has, I mean, you guys already see what The Miz does. He could pretty much put anybody. He could probably even put me over if I get a match with him. He could probably put you over if you get a match. That's how good The Miz is. And you know, you have LA Knight that just has been so good these past couple of months, has won over the crowd and knows how to work the crowd now. You know, and it's just his mic skills are good, and that's what's making this feud so interesting as well too. Just the mic war that these two guys are having is just unbelievable, you know?
I saw a different side of The Miz. I saw a more confident Miz going into this match, but I also saw a different side of LA Knight. I think he knew, like, this is The Miz that I'm going up against. Yeah, I've already beat him once, but ultimately, you never know what The Miz has under his sleeve. That is one of Miz's biggest attributes. He is able to adapt to any competitor, and he always brought the fight to LA Knight. And you were able to see that because LA Knight started to get frustrated, and you can tell that he was trying to find and pull things out of his book. How am I going to put The Miz away? And I think that was Miz's biggest advantage in this match.
Well, the experience, like you said, you know, The Miz has faced them all, and he has faced the very best in this business has to offer, and he knew that that was going to be his advantage, and it was going to get to a certain point. And he was playing the mind games as well too, you know, letting LA Knight get frustrated and letting the match go into deeper waters, which, you know, that's an advantage for the experience. You know, wrestlers that have been in this business, you don't know how the other one is going to react. You don't know what else. And then that's what's going to make the difference in those matches. And I think The Miz was also going more on frustration because he wanted a proven point. He wanted a proven point that he was better than LA Knight. And that the match, that the win that LA Knight had at the previous pay-per-view was a fluke because John Cena was there to help him out as well.
But ultimately, LA Knight proved yet again, like, hey, I beat you fair and square, and The Miz just has to accept that, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, LA Knight said, I am coming for gold. I don't care if it is Seth. I do not care if it is Rey Mysterio, if it is Gunther, or even if it is Roman Reigns. He wants gold. He is ready for the gold. And I think right now, this is the most over guy in the company. I think now is the time that you pull the trigger and you give LA Knight your championship. Period.
Now the question is, who do you have him go against for him to get gold? Mysterio or Gunther? Me personally, I would like for him to go defeat Gunther. I think he would be great to dethrone him.
I can definitely see that. Personally, I would go with Rey Mysterio. I would go the other way around, just simply because I feel like the magnitude of that match, the name that he would be defeating in this sense would be Rey Mysterio, and I think the guy to put him over will be Rey. Now, interesting that you didn't mention Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, he's not beating Roman Reigns, period. We all know that. Roman hasn't lost in 3 years. Seth Rollins, I don't know, man. I think he can hold it up with Seth Rollins. Do I think it's time for Seth to lose that championship? Absolutely not. But I just wanted to bring that up because that was very, very interesting.
I didn't say Seth Rollins. It was not because I'm doubting LA Knight. No, I think he has the talent and I think he could defeat it. But I would like to see him maybe as Intercontinental Champion and or U.S. Champion, either or whatever, you know, they decide to do. Just to see how he does as well, too. Do I think he's ready? I think he's ready, but I think he needs, like everybody else, before they become WWE champion or world champion, is you got to give him that title first, either the U.S. or the Intercontinental, as a stepping stone, and then go from there and be like, okay, now he's ready. You know, because we've seen countless times where we throw a superstar, whoever it is, and they become champion, and it's like, okay, was that the right call? You know, and he's so big and so popular right now that I would just hate for him to just get thrown into a title picture like that and then it doesn't work out and his career goes down.
I think it's definitely the right call. I think the guy is over. I think the guy's been over since he started in the company, and I think his mic skills and his skills inside of the ring speak for himself. Do I think it's time for Seth to lose the championship? Absolutely not. But, I mean, I kind of somewhat agree with what you are saying. You have to take it slow before you give him a massive push. But I also feel like he's already at star level. He doesn't need an Intercontinental Championship. He doesn't need a United States Championship. He is LA Knight, and he is at a level that Roman Reigns is. He is at the level of Cody Rhodes. He is at the level of Seth Rollins. So, personally, I would throw him up against Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Even though we know he's not going to lose the championship right now. Yeah. Let's move on to Asuka versus Bayley. Super, super interesting. I feel like we're seeing a completely different side of Bayley. I feel like she just comes out. She's more confident. She's more determined. She's more willing to put herself out there, to say it that way.
And I think it all has to do with Io. I think she wants to tell Io, like, hey, you know what? I have your back. Like, you know, we're in this together. And she just wants to show her, like, look, I know I put you in situations where you've been uncomfortable and you don't want to have this match. And I think she's trying to redeem herself as well, too.
And Asuka, man. Asuka is in a completely different level. Asuka, every single time she goes out there, she performs. You never expect anything less from Asuka because she goes out there and she gives it 110% each and every single time. And I think it's time for her to get that championship opportunity yet again.
And I think Asuka's just, you know, I don't want to say seeking revenge, but you know how the Money in the Bank works, you know. They take an opportunity when you're down, and I think it's going to be a great match with Io, you know. And I think this is going to be, me personally, I would have loved to see this at a WrestleMania because I think they would have stole the show, you know. And
yeah.
I think it's time, and I'm just looking forward to this match. I think these two are high-quality superstars that are just going to tear it down next week when they get their opportunity to face each other.
All right, and let's move on to our main event. Grayson Waller, he basically goes on to say, like, I have had the best of the best on this show, and today I have the GOAT, arguably the greatest of all time, John Cena. And he brings him out, and he's like, you know you're the best at what you do. And he starts actually judging him as well on his hosting skills. He was like, dude, what kind of hosting skills were that, right? And he's like, you really need to start, like, taking some classes and stuff like that. And Cena was ready to fight this guy. Like, he really was.
And not only that, but the disrespect. He didn't let John Cena talk. Every time John Cena was going to talk, he always interrupted him, or like, didn't even let him speak. You know, and I think what Grayson Waller is doing, I like the guy. You know, I think what he's doing is great. I think it's something new. It kind of gives me the Miz vibes as well, too. I would love to see him go up against The Miz, or put him with The Miz as a tag team. I think those two guys will just do great because they got a lot of similarities. I think they got the same egos. And again, I haven't seen a whole lot of Grayson Waller down in NXT. But from what I've seen so far, I like his mic skills. I like his confidence. The little bit that I've seen in the ring, I think he's going to be a star as well, too.
100%. And we have Jimmy coming out and just completely taking the mic away from Cena. Out of nowhere, basically Jimmy and Solo just start attacking John Cena for no apparent reason. And then we have AJ Styles coming to the rescue of John Cena. Very, very interesting to see where this is going to go. We know we have Cena for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be interesting to see which way they decide to go with Jimmy and John Cena.
It's going to be interesting. I think they're going to, you know, have a match possibly next week or within the next couple of weeks. I think what it is Jimmy's trying to pick those high targets to try to impress Roman Reigns to let him back into the bloodline. And I think that's what he's kind of leaning more towards right now. And what better way to do it against John Cena. But he has to be careful because, yeah, even though he's not in the bloodline, Solo is his brother and his brother's going to have his back. So he just got to make sure he doesn't get Solo involved in certain situations, you know. And now he's already starting to get involved with AJ Styles, you know. So again, you might be picking more than you could choose. Some battles that you might not be able to win. Keep in mind, you guys are torn apart now, and that might just end up costing you guys at the end.
It'll 100% be interesting to see where they decide to go with this. All right, you guys, that is all we have for you guys on this episode of Wrestling with Siblings. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Also, make sure you support the brand, OptimusCrew.com, and become a part of the siblings today. And for those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, what does WWS stand for?
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much, and see you guys next time.